Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 1st, episode 648. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber-jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you listening in. I noticed on Facebook that some of our listeners are getting snow again today, 6 to 8 inches in Colorado. Like, what?
Oh, my gosh.
And
are
I
you serious?
Yes, and it's May 1st. By the way, is it not shocking that it's May 1st? Didn't we just do, like, the new first show of the new year? I'm just flying by.
You know what? What's shocking is that I'm going to have a baby in like 5 minutes. It's as fast as time is going in some avenues, but in the rest of the world, January 1st feels like a million years ago, Glenn. A million years ago.
By the way, I wanted to bring that up. If you were really, really dedicated to the show and, you know, loyal to Horses in the Morning like you've been for the last 2 years, you would go into labor while you're on the air because that'd be great for ratings. Just saying.
You know, I've thought about that, actually.
Dedication, Jamie.
I think the problem would be you would have to edit it. You couldn't do it live because of the cuss words that are going to be streaming out of my mouth pretty much through the entire labor. I'm going to make nurses blush, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't mean the whole labor. I just meant start it on the air. And then, you know, we could hear you panicking and calling Chad and saying we got to go to the hospital. That would all be terrific for ratings.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My water just broke. Oh, my God.
Yep.
See, we got to go.
That's great. Yes,
oh,
that's perfect stuff. Yeah, we could replay that over and over again over the next month while you're not here.
Yeah, that sounds fun. That sounds really fun. You would love that, wouldn't you? It's all about the show. It's all about the show. Yeah,
it is. It is. And we know how dedicated you are. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
We have Wheel of Trivia with certain craziness, and I see that the switchboard is lit up like a Christmas tree already. Thank you, folks, for calling in and pressing one. And we follow that up with another visit from the Velvet Voice of Horse and Country TV. Victoria is here to give us the update on what's going on at badminton, the second most important three-day event in the world. And, of course, being Wednesday and all, thehorse.com is here to talk about botulism. So I hope you ate breakfast, Glenn.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's lovely. Hey, it is time to call in for the Wheel of Trivia. You can give us a call at 347-637-3238. Be sure to press 1 when you get into the system. That tells Jennifer that you're on to play the wheel. So we would appreciate if you would do that. She will be getting to the people who are on the line and getting you lined up to talk to Jamie and I when we're done with our daily winnings and we get started. Right, it is that time. My daily Winnie goes out to one of our faithful listeners who wrote an incredible article for Riders for Helmets. Her name is Gemma Kuntz, and she wrote an article about helmet safety and wearing helmets. Apparently, she wrote it for like her high school senior high school papers, and she sent it over to Lindsay at Riders for Helmets, and Lindsay published it, and it was really, really good. So, Gemma, you have a future as a writer, and I see that Also, Jamie, in the picture, Gemma was wearing her Troxel helmet, and we have Troxel helmets on the wheel today. So that's one of the things that people can win. So good job, Gemma. I was really impressed. Very good. Jennifer will post it on our Facebook page, a link to it, so you can go take a read.
Cool. Okay, listen. I'm going to give you guys the inside skinny on something. Are you ready?
Yes, ready. Run. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Stick with me here. So on the Mash Horses Facebook page, there's a little Arabian that I posted who has been returned. He was adopted from Mash Horses, and you can find Mash Horses Facebook page, facebook.com/adopthorses, or search for Mash Horses, M-A-S-H. So it's this little Arabian colt who is the cutest thing ever, and he's just very scared of people. He's abused and neglected and then confiscated and brought to jail. He was adopted about 2 months ago, and please don't post anything about this on Facebook because I'll get in big trouble, but I'm going to give you guys the inside story here. Is he was actually adopted out, and we found him being sold on Craigslist for a lot more than they had paid for him. So it was
allowed.
It's not allowed. It's just not fair to the horse. You know, this little guy's had the roughest life ever, and he finally gets a home, and then you flip him on Craigslist? Like, that's really shady. So apparently the lady who adopted him, blah, 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 lost her job and had this whole story, and I'm not allowed to post anything about that on the Craigslist page, on the Facebook page, but I'm giving you guys the inside story as to understand why it's so important to find this guy a good home, and also he needs to be gelded. He is a little colt, and his life will be so much better once he doesn't have all those extra emotions going through his brain and his body. So, number one, we're looking for him to have a new home. And number two, anybody that would like to contribute to the gelding fund, it's Durango Equine Vet Clinic is where you can send some money. They take credit cards, they take checks, whatever you want to do. All the information is on the Facebook page for Mash Horses, and he's just such a cute little guy, and he's actually bred very well. I don't think they have any papers, but he's stunning to look at if you're an Arab person. So go check him out. Get Sham a home. Let's see what we can do. Let's get him brain surgery first.
Our friend Robert from there in Arizona is going to be his ears just perked up, didn't they?
I know. Bless his heart. Robert has actually tried a couple different ways to get this horse to his house because I know Robert is in Arizona and is a huge Arab fan, but just can't find a stall to put him in. I guess he keeps his horses at his brother's house, and his brother's like, no more horses, you know, that kind of thing. You have 17 Arabians that are all rescued. You have enough. So I don't think Robert is the contender, but I know he would love to have him. And this little guy just, I mean, he's just terrified of people, just terrified, and it's really sad. So it's going to have to be somebody who is incredibly patient, is incredibly kind. So we'll see what happens.
It'd be nice, actually, if somebody who has worked with Mustangs in the past and had good luck and with Mustangs would be a perfect one to deal with that because you will need that kind of patience.
Yeah, you'll need the patience of Job to deal with this horse. But this is the kind of horse that once you get him in your back pocket, he will fight for you for life, you know?
Very good. Well, we also appreciate you with all the work that you do with the horses that are in prison. We appreciate that.
Oh, well, I barely do anything. They're all the ones who are deserving, and I do all this work for these guys because I have two horses that I've got from the Mass Sheriff's Department that are just two of the greatest horses that you could possibly ever want between Fighter Jet and Joey, and you know, I'm so lucky to have them, and they make my day better every single day when I go out there and I hear Jet nickering at me, and Joey, of course, he just paws for me, you know, he just paws the ground with irritates my husband, but they all love me, and they love me because of where they came from, and they appreciate their life, and so they're great horses to be adopted.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you doing that. And by the way, when you're out on maternity leave, if you have anything that's urgent from the MASH side of things, you're always welcome to hop on for a couple minutes and let us know about that. All right.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, good. Well, we are going to get to the Wheel of Trivia here right now, but today we're doing something a little different, and we didn't announce this, and don't hang up. It's going to be fun. We didn't announce it because we were afraid people wouldn't call, but we are having a special Derby Trivia Wheel today. It's all about the Kentucky Derby, and Jamie's going to tell you about the categories here in 1 second, but, you know, it is the Wheel Day. So we are going to have to play this.
Wheel of Trivia! And
that's right.
Go ahead, please. Take it.
Well, I was just going to say, I just want to go over the sounds here. For a winning answer, you will hear that. You got 5 seconds. Jamie is an enforcer, and she makes me stick to the 5 seconds, so that's what you have. For a wrong answer, you're going to hear the high school basketball buzzer, and that is what you hear for the right and wrong answers. And this week's crappy prize is still the six-pack of double-ended snaps that may or may not work. You realize we haven't given out the crappy prize for like 5 or 6 weeks. It hasn't hit on the wheel. So
that's good.
So, all right, tell us about the categories and how this is going to work today.
Okay, the categories are Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Derby. Now, you have a choice. You can have the sound file audio clue of the day. We have several of those, actually. Or you're going to get a Kentucky Derby trivia question. The sound file audio is going to sound something like this. You're going to hear the start of a race, and you have to predict the outcome of the race. A couple questions like that. We've got some other audio that you need to guess. So that's pretty much how that's going to work. Otherwise, you can ask for a Kentucky Derby trivia question, and that is it, because it's Derby week, baby, and that's where we're sticking. None of this tack and habit, facts and fiction, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It is all about the Derby.
All right, very good. Here we go. Let us take our first caller for the Derby Wheel of Trivia, and we are going to Jamie in Pennsylvania. We might as well. She called in first, and it's a Jamie. I mean, how?
I mean, it's a winning combination right there. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am wonderful. It is a beautiful day this morning.
Oh, really? In New Jersey? Or where? Pennsylvania? Where are you?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, it says it right here that you're calling from PA. I don't know why I thought that was New Jersey. and a beautiful day. What do you have planned for this beautiful hump day?
Oh, I'm going out to the horses later.
Sounds good. Do you go to work first and then, like, try to,
nope.
You know, it's getting no work today?
No work today.
Oh, man.
Lucky
bum. Big time. So
you want to take over for me and finish out the show? I could go play with the horses if you would like to take over.
Don't do it.
No.
all right. So what would you like? Would you like a Kentucky Derby racing audio clip, or would you like a Kentucky Derby trivia question?
Trivia question.
Really?
Yes.
Jeez. All right, then. Here we go. Now, keep in mind, you have 5 seconds to answer this question, okay? No Googling allowed.
Okay.
Now, your question is actually a two-part question, and to get it right, you must get both parts of the question correct, okay?
Okay.
You did this to yourself. The audio was really awesome. Okay, here we go. Part one, what is the official drink of the Kentucky Derby? And
mint julep.
That is correct. And
that part's right.
What is the alcohol in the mint julep?
Oh, no.
It's Kentucky Standard, girl. Come on.
Oh, no. I have no clue.
Oh, she gave you a big clue, too. A big clue.
It is all Kentucky is bourbon, girl. Bourbon, bourbon, bourbon.
That's I knew it was a julep. I just didn't know what the alcohol was.
Well, let me give you a hint. Have you ever had a mint julep?
No, actually, I haven't.
Don't do it. It's like tastes like death. It's so disgusting.
It is pretty strong. It does kind of taste like hairspray. And you can only have about three before you're underneath the seat at the stadium there.
Three what? Three sips? What's up, Iron Liver? Seriously. I took one sip and I was like, oh, my God, I'm hammered.
And they serve them in pretty big glasses there, too. It's amazing. There's a reason that everybody's, all 100,000 are drunk by the time they walk out of there.
I went to the Derby, and I thought, well, I have to have one of these. You know, they give the little Derby glasses and everything, and I got my little Derby glass. I took one sip. I was like, oh, God, this is amazing. Oh. It's like mint with death. I'm not a bourbon fan, as you can tell. Well, listen, Jamie, I'm so sorry that you did not win. I thought you were going to nail that one, but please make sure you call back next week, okay?
Definitely.
All right, thanks, Jamie.
Yep. Hopefully we made her laugh, at least.
All right, we have Barbie in New Jersey. Did Barbie play last week? I don't remember. Barbie?
No, she didn't. I call every week, but I didn't play last week. And I got Kentucky week. Oh, I'm saying a prayer. God help me.
It is Kentucky Derby week. Would you, Barbie, you're calling from New Jersey, right? That's what I was getting.
And you were right. It is sunny and 70 and beautiful. Yes. And it's been for, like, I don't want to jinx it, the past month. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah.
Wow. Enjoy your month of beauty.
Oh, and ask me what I'm doing today. I'm so excited.
Okay,
what are you doing today?
I went last night and I placed the order for my cowboy mounted shooting guns.
Oh, cool.
So today I have to go and re-up my permit. You have to get a gun permit from the town, from your police department, but it expires on May 7th and the guns won't be here for 3 weeks, so I have to re-up it for 90 days. So it's a big procedure. I started a while ago and it's so exciting. So my guns are coming in 2 to 3 weeks. I'm so excited.
Hey, Barbie.
Okay, now you can ask me the question.
No, wait a minute, 1 second. Barbie, I'm going to contact you off air. And I would love you for the next Western radio show to come on, and I won't tell Tammy that you're coming on, and you can have a little chat with the world champion.
I wanted to contact Tammy because I want to find out where they get the clothing. Like, I've been trying to Google it and stuff, and it's all cheesy. I want, like, the real garb.
Why don't we do it on air? We'll surprise her. We won't tell her you're coming on, and we'll have you come on, and you two can chat for a while.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
I'm so excited.
All right, cool. All right, good.
All right, I won a buckle from her when she did the charity fundraiser. I won the AXA buckle. So I have her AXA buckle. I'm so excited. So anyway, awesome.
Okay.
It's going to be really exciting.
Go,
sorry.
People. Stay focused here. Stay focused. We got the wheel trivia. Barbie, let's see, would you like Kentucky Derby audio?
You said audio. Go with the audio. I'm going with the audio. I'm going for the multiple choice.
All right, here we go. This is the audio. Now, this audio you're going to hear, I'm going to play it for you first, and then I'm going to ask you the question, okay? Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
Dial in is dead last. He's 15 lengths off the lead of 48 and 3/2 miles as Shackelford leads the Kentucky Derby field into the far turn. He's in front by a length and a half. Comma to the top on the outside in second. Decisive moment is third at the rail. Hands on fire is right there in fourth. There goes Nero. Nero is moving now on the...
Okay, you heard that audio. Who is the announcer for that Kentucky Derby?
I don't know.
Oh, now, we will give you a little bit of a clue. He's one of our favorites here at Horses in the Morning.
He's been on our show a ton.
Yeah.
I just draw a blank when it comes to Kentucky Derby. I don't know. Go ahead, tell me.
It's Larry Coleman.
I'm sorry, Larry, that I didn't know.
And you know what's worse about this, Barbie, is he lives in New Jersey.
New Jersey, I know. Don't tell him. I feel really bad.
Now, I do want to tell you what I didn't realize, guys, and Jamie, too. Jamie, I looked him up on Facebook this morning because we're friends. You know, we've had him on the show a number of times. I didn't realize that as he was getting ready to call his first Breeders' Cup last year is when Hurricane Sandy came through and it flooded his house, and he has not been able to live in it since. He was one
I'm
of those
a, I'm
now.
A flood, I'm a flood victim myself. It really stinks. Sorry, radio. It really stinks. It's hard.
Wow.
Thank God I have my neighbors let me bring the horses there and where I work. Praise God. Yeah, really. It's scary. Yeah, it's not fun. So my prayers go out to Larry. And sorry, I screwed up.
That's okay.
Thank you,
Larry
Barbie.
Larry Palmas is the race caller. Barbie, you take care. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, so Glenn's going to call me?
No.
Yes, I will definitely give you a call about the Western Radio show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
He might show up at your house. Who knows?
By the way, okay. Larry is calling the Derby this year. It's his third time. So, and we're excited about that because it's so good. All right, who we have next in the lineup? I think that I think Yudi was next, actually, in the lineup today. Hey, Yudi.
Oh, good.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have to ask you a question, and this is a very important question, because I got to tell you guys, Yudi has been amazing. She is so generous. She sent a whole bunch of fly masks for the MASH horses and just couldn't thank you. It was just fantastic. But I've got to ask you, because my neighbor is German, and she also donated some fly masks, and I thanked both you guys on the MASH Facebook page, and she's like, who is that person that also donated? I said, oh, that's a listener of my radio show. She's like, well, Uta is this and this and this and this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, Uta. Is that how you pronounce your name? And I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, God. Did you know her name is not Yudi, Glenn? We've been calling her
yes,
Yudi.
Yes, I did, actually.
I knew that, but,
you know, she said I could say Yudi because she knows how much trouble I have with names to begin with. And she was very kind about it. Back me up here, Yudi. Back me up.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, that's fine, because, you know, I've been called far worse.
Tell me, though, give me the exact pronunciation of your name.
It's called Uta.
Uta.
Okay. Dear God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I feel like such an ignorant American for not understanding that you have a German-based name and that it's Uta. My neighbor her name is Yvonne, and she's just like, an Uta this and an Uta did this. And I'm like, who are you talking about? What are you talking about, woman? She's like, Uta Shepherd. I'm like, oh, my God. I am such an idiot. I'm so sorry. So I will pronounce it correctly for the rest of my life, okay?
Okay.
All right, Uta, what category would you like? Would you like Kentucky Derby audio or Kentucky Derby trivia?
I think I'll have to go with the trivia, please.
Oh, you chicken.
I know, I'm terrible.
I think that Glenn just played the hardest one, so you got that one out of the way. So, okay, here we go. Here, you guys are really not doing good on the Kentucky Derby trivia yet. So hopefully this is going to change, but this is kind of a hard question too. Are you ready? How many furlongs is the Kentucky Derby? You can take a guess.
Oh, I know it's a mile and a quarter.
Take a guess.
Huh?
Just take a guess.
Gosh, I'm listening to Frankie all the time. I'm going with 6.
Oh. We cannot get a right answer today.
Well, you're asking all the wrong questions. I would have known all kinds of other stuff.
Well, then you should have picked the audio. Everybody, the audio is awesome.
Okay, well, give me the audio. I'll try that one.
Oh, Uta, I'm so sorry. It is actually 10 furlongs in a mile, and you got the distance right, but it is 10. So I'm so sorry that you did not get that correct.
That's all right. It was fun anyhow.
Right,
well, Uta, at least I'm going to pronounce your name right forever, okay?
There you go.
Well, something good happened to Uta today. We're at least going to get her name right from now on.
Oh my God, I felt like such an ignorant white person. You know, it's like
if somebody was calling me Jaime forever and ever and ever, and I'm like, oh, it's Jamie, but they couldn't say Jamie and they pronounce Jaime all the time because that's the Spanish pronunciation. Oh boy.
We have okay, our well, next.
Who else?
Let me see. Next one up here is Robin. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
Pretty good.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you. And Glenn, you need
yes.
to practice. It's Uta and Hoof.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I love you.
You know what?
Oh.
I was with some people over the weekend that are from New England. And they were down here, and we were chatting with them, and they're horse people, and that subject came up, and they didn't even realize there was another way to say it other than hoof.
Wasn't there ignorant?
They had no idea. They had never heard it your way before. So obviously, there's a division in the country, and if JB would have her way, there'd be a civil war over this particular topic.
There is a civil war, and I'm bringing it to the table right now. I'm so sick of you saying that. Thank you so much, Robin. It's Hoof. I mean, geez, you know what? My husband, just to mess with me, has now started calling it Hoof because he's like, oh, I just love to see it make you mad. I'm like, shut up!
Yay, I love Chad. He's a great guy.
Oh, I'm like, I'm going to lose this baby over this. My blood pressure is going to skyrocket. They're going to take me in and have to do a C-section to get this baby out of my body because I'm so mad about this. Thank you. See, Robin, look what you did.
Yeah, it's all her fault. We need a winner today. We need a winner.
I know we do.
It's probably not going to be me.
What category would you like? Kentucky Derby clips, audio clips, or the Kentucky Derby trivia?
I'll do the audio.
Ooh. It's
okay.
Your turn. Take it over.
There we go. All right. Now I'm going to let you hear this audio clip. And you have to tell me who won this Kentucky Derby. You're just going to hear part of the race.
Okay.
He is next in the field as the Derby field make the turn for home. Noble's Promise has the lead in the Derby. Super Savers towards the inside. Staying on is Devil May Care. She is now in third. Paddy O'Prado is staying on. Dublin and Lucky Nut Lucky is weaving his way through. Racing now inside the final third.
Okay. Who was the winner of that particular Kentucky Derby?
I didn't recognize any of those names. I'm just going to throw out Mind That Bird because I know he was.
Oh no! And actually, the name was in the name was in there, and this was you're gonna hit yourself on the head because it was 2010. It was only a couple years ago, and it was Super Saver won that year.
I see. I only started following Kentucky Derby when I started listening to you guys.
Oh, really?
Aww.
We
mm-hmm.
got you turned on. Well, that's good.
Well,
yeah, you guys
you
are
what?
Costing me so much money.
Why? We're a free
well,
podcast.
I just bought a packet of fecal test kits from Horseman's Lab, and I bought three sets of socks for horses to keep the flies off their legs, and yeah,
wow.
A flex and fork, and
See, your horses are going to thank us, okay? To just give you a little background, I actually had my bridal shower, Robin, actually
mm-hmm.
a bridal shower / derby party, so I didn't remember that Super Saver won either, but because I was so wasted by the time the race actually came on. And who has a bridal shower where you get drunk? We actually held races around the racetrack. I rode a paint horse around the racetrack, a little bit buzzed, on Derby morning, then went in, and that's where I really, really decided that I hated mint juleps and drank a lot of beer, and it was just an ugly, ugly day in my life, and I could not tell you who won either on 2010. So I wouldn't have got that one right either.
Well,
it was
the mint juleps that make those people think they can pull off those crazy hats.
You're right. There's something wrong with those people.
By the way, that Super Saver was ridden by Calvin Burrell. And he won a bunch of races over the years, but it was the first win out of 25 entries for Todd Pletcher, And you know what? Todd Pletcher has 5 entries in this year's Kentucky Derby. So odds are that he'll have another victor this year. So, yep.
Thankfully, he doesn't have to ride them all.
That's right.
Unlike the crazies that do multiple horses at Rolex.
Hey, while we're talking about it, I wanted to say, too, that I'm going to get a quick interview with Callie tomorrow that we'll play on Friday. She is our jockey in training. She rides for Todd Pletcher, and she's going to spend a couple minutes with me tomorrow telling us what the mood's like in the Todd Pletcher camp with him having 5 horses in the race. So we're going to get a little inside scoop on Friday.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds great.
Love it. Well, Robin, thanks so much for giving it a go. I didn't remember it either, and that's probably why we didn't remember if Todd Pletcher had won a race before, Glenn. We were just talking about it on Monday.
That's true.
Thanks for being a sponsor of our sponsors and being a part of the Horse Radio Network family, Robin. Sorry you didn't win.
No problem. I'll try again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Glenn, can we have time for one more so somebody can win?
We could do a very quick one. Let's see who we have. Ada from New Jersey is on here next, and we'll do a speed round.
Okay. Ada, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we're going to play some audio. I'm not even giving you a choice. We're going to play some audio and guess who won the race, okay?
Good.
Okay, ready? Here we go. She does.
And they're surging as they move toward the top of the stretch. And Congaree has come away with the lead. Here comes his stablemate, Point Given, on the outside. They're in 3/4 in 109-1. Record time here in the Derby at the top of the stretch. And it is Congaree who is full out. Here comes Monarchos under a heavy drive on the far outside.
All right. Boy, I'm not even playing the buzzer again because I don't want to hear it for the 12th time today.
Today was a loser day.
It is.
That one was hard too, Glenn. You picked some hard races. Okay, so what did she guess? I couldn't even hear it.
She guessed, was it Congaree? Was that when you guessed?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have said Point Given.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought would trip people up, because Monarchos won the Kentucky Derby that year, and then Point Given beat Monarchos in the Belmont, and by 13 lengths. Point Given just killed him in the Belmont. So that's why I thought that one would trip people up, but it was Monarchos in 2001.
I would have got the first question.
Oh, the Larry Comis?
No, the mint julep and the bourbon.
Oh.
And I don't drink. I don't know why I would have known that, but I would have known that one.
Oh, my gosh. This has been amazing. Well, you know what, Ada, all these prizes just roll over into next week, and we certainly hope you call back.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you,
all
Ada.
Right. Thanks. Oh, all right. We tried to squeeze one winner in. Glenn,
this
you made
our
it too
first
hard.
No winner day. It was our first day of a total wipeout. By the way, just to fill you in, Monarchos actually went on to retire after the Kentucky Derby, had a tendon injury, and was retired in 2002 and lives in Kentucky and did his duty in Kentucky. But in April of 2011, he underwent colic surgery at Haggard and recovered from that, and he's still living and still out there working as a stud in Kentucky. So that's what happened to Monarchos.
Yeah, the other interesting fact about Monarchos was he actually has the second fastest Kentucky Derby time, 159.97, where 159 and I think 3/5 was Secretariat. So definitely a well-sought-after race, but just not in anybody's memory.
All right, let's take a break for our commercial for Horse Quencher, one of our favorite products here in Florida when the horses get to the point where they stop drinking on you. This is what you want to look for. And then we'll be back with Horse
Country
TV.
Got to buy this one, too.
Yeah. Is your horse not drinking enough? Whether it's from weather changes, minor illnesses, trailer and traveling stress, there are many reasons you will have a horse refuse to drink sufficiently. Yet being fully hydrated is the first line of defense against minor issues becoming major. There is a product that helps even the pickiest of drinkers drink more, all-natural horse quencher. Listen to what four-in-hand champion Chester Weber has to say about it.
Since I was introduced to horse quencher, I've been wildly impressed with its ability to keep the horses in the water buckets drinking, and it's given me real peace of mind. One often doesn't know they need a product until they're introduced to it, and this was a product I didn't know I needed at all, but due to the traveling that we do, it's been really helpful. It's also been very helpful with horses that, you know, are a little colicky or something like that. We'll always hang in buckets in their stall. You know, they'll drink more, and their general health will just be better.
Take it from Chester Weber. Horse Quencher is the all-natural product you want to help your horses drink as much as they should. Find it at your local feed store or tack shop or online at horsequencher.com. That's horsequencher.com.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And that music can only mean one thing. That means Victoria Spicer is on the line. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. Happy Badminton Week.
Oh, it is Badminton Week for you and for all eventers everywhere. It's Kentucky Derby Week here. It is just an exciting time to be involved with horses and to be a fan of horses this time of year. So what is shaping up over there? I mean, you guys are – it's a couple of days away. Isn't Jog Up today?
It's tomorrow afternoon, actually. It's running Friday to Monday this year, and so we finish on the bank holiday Monday, and then it reverts back to the old format of having cross-country day on Saturday. So I'm heading up there tomorrow to watch the trot up and check out who's the stylishly dressed and which event horses are really fit and take off with their rider. So, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
There's nothing better than getting a great photo of somebody who is having an epic fail in the trot up. Like, you get a picture of horse, like, bucking or rearing in the middle of the jog up. It is always fun. But I see that you're going there for the important stuff, to see whose horses are naughty and who is the best dressed.
That's what people want to know. I'm doing proper journalism here. I'm getting the story that everyone wants to read. Nobody wants to read horse trots nicely. Passy sound is absolutely fine. That's not the dramatic story. So, yes, we want fashion faux pas and fit horses and all the rest.
Well, that's going to be a great story. Now, what is also a great story is it is an unprecedented badminton weekend because the HSBC Classic, I think it's $350,000 to the person who can win Rolex, Burley, and badminton in succession. Well, William Fox Pitt was in the running for last year. Badminton was canceled, so they rolled it over for this year. Now we've got Andrew Nicholson, who is also in the running because he's won the last two Rolex and Burley. So he is in going for the championship, too. So this should never happen. I mean, this shouldn't even be a race to win the money. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, this is drama for your mama.
It is indeed. If Hollywood was writing this as a script, I don't think they would have come up with something so far-fetched. And it's never happened before. I dare say it will never, ever happen again. But just those two who are obviously long-term rivals going head-to-head for the prize, and they're both kind of... they're both up for the Rolex Grand Slam. They're always kind of there or thereabouts in the HSBC World Rankings. They're just so doing so well. And the thought of them doing battle at Kentucky, and then yet again this weekend, it just sends shivers down my spine. So not only that, throw in Michael Jung into the mix, who's the Olympic champion and making his badminton debut, but just his record is just unsurpassable. So he's not going to make it easy for them either. And there's a whole lot of other very good riders going to be there. So it's not all going to be a Fox Pitt Nicholson whitewash, I dare say.
No, probably not, but they sure did it at Rolex, man. I mean, 1, 2, and 3, there you go. Now, were you telling us there was some drama between Fox Pitt and Nicholson about some, like, chick?
Well, that is the story. I mean, all
Chico,
I know...
How about a wife?
It was a wife. All I know is from reading William Potts Pitt's autobiography, and it's a very good read. I'd recommend it. And in it, he kind of discusses his early marriage to a lady called Wiggy Channer, and Wiggy's now either with or married to Andrew Nicholson, and William Potts Pitt is married to a TV presenter, a racing presenter here called Alice Plunkett. So I think they're both very happy, and I'm sure there's no kind of ongoing drama, but
no,
I dare
no.
say they're not racing to sit next to each other in the writer's canteen. And so it does add that little frisson of interest to the whole thing.
I'll tell you what, I actually, to get my husband, we were watching Rolex, and I'm like, babe, you don't understand. William Fox Pitt, I had it right then. I'm like, William Fox Pitt used to be married to this girl? Well, now guess who's married to her? Andrew Nicholson. And that created so much fun drama for us. And honestly, we were both pulling for William Fox Pitt because we love the guy who loses the girl. You know, we like the underdog, not the winner. So
I got to tell you guys, too, speaking of that rivalry, there was something that happened at Rolex that what didn't get a lot of play, but SSG Gloves was giving away $5,000 to if the person who won the different phases was wearing SSG gloves. Well, guess who won three of the phases and won $15,000 total was William Fox Pitt. And SSG was also giving $10,000 away to the winner of the entire competition. So Andrew Nicholson ended up with $10,000 too. So both of them were fighting for that money. And the word is, now I don't know if this is true, it's a rumor, neither one of them had worn SSG gloves before. When they heard about this, they got there, they went over to the Bit of Britain tent and bought SSG gloves for the competition. Because William doesn't wear gloves at all, not even for cross country. But he wore them then. That's the rumor.
I'm liking the shrewd thinking. It just goes to show, I mean, eventers, when it comes down to it, they don't win the same prize money that you get in show jumping. And, you know, just as a comparison, the Rolex Grand Slam of eventing is $350,000. And the new Rolex Grand Slam of show jumping, which has just been announced this week, I'm sure you guys have heard, the prize is $1 million. So it is you don't get the same prize money for winning, and it's a lot harder to win a four-star event. There's not as many of them as there are Grand Prix and show jumping. And so I can see why. Shrewd businessmen, I reckon.
Well, you know what's really scary is the fact that if William Fox Pitt never wore gloves before this past weekend, he broke his finger during his show jumping round.
Oh, dear.
So
I hadn't heard
drama.
That.
Yeah, he actually broke his finger at some point during the show jumping round. Well, I don't know what part of it. He was going over a jump or something. Maybe it was the SSG gloves. Good thing he got $15,000 for wearing the gloves. Otherwise, it would have been a wash. So Victoria, being that you are over there and on that side of the pond, you're actually going to badminton. I want to know, take the journalism out of it. Take the I'm getting a good story. I want to know, emotional play, who does Victoria want to win?
it's such a difficult one. I'd love to see someone else win the Grand Slam. No one's done it since Pippa Funnell, and I think it would be great. Nicholson is on an extraordinary run of form at the moment. You know, if you look at his autumn record, he kept winning three stars and four stars after another. But I do feel really sorry for William if he does get pipped at the post, because he's had that year to wait, and that was when he was having an amazing run of form. So it's a little bit unfortunate that it's worked out this way. The odds are up if anybody's into betting. I'm not sure how feasible it is in America, but one of the bookmakers over here, Coral, has got a book running on who's going to win, and they've got Andrew and William as joint favourites, followed by Michael Young. And the next in the betting is Mary King, and I think she's the one to watch in this competition. Two very good horses, and she's just a superb four-star rider, so I think... if it's not going to be one of the Grand Slam contenders, I'd like to see Mary win.
Wow, that was a long-winded way to get around saying you want Mary King to win. You know, I mean, watching her ride here at Rolex, you just realize what an amazing,
not only rider she is, but horse person. You know, she's got, from what I hear, like, her horses live in her yard, and they all are turned out all the time, and they greet her when she comes in. They all love her, and just seeing how well she cared for Hilarco on the cross country course. By, you know, she's like four, you know, at the water jump. She could have continued to beat his butt over the jump, but he just wasn't going well, and she pulled up. And as a former first and second place winner consecutively in the same year, it had to be hard for her to pull up as such a fierce competitor. But you know what? She did what was best for the horses, and I became an even bigger fan of hers watching her do that.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Mary's. I visited her yard probably last summer, and she's what's remarkable about her is if you look at like Nicholson and William Fox Pitt and Oliver Tennant and all these riders, I mean, I can't put a figure on it, but they have dozens and dozens of horses at all different levels. Mary King shares a yard at home with her daughter Emily, who's an up-and-coming young rider, and I think when I was there, she had something like 8 horses between the two of them. And what was remarkable was 4 of them were at 4-star and 4 of them had qualified for the Olympics. So in terms of strike rates, you know, some people might have 1 4-star horse, a couple might have 2, and then you've got the big guns that have, you know, 4 that, like, those 3 that can go to Kentucky and on 2 horses and then come to Badminton on another 2 the following week. But for Mary to have just 8 horses and 4 of them to be at 4-star, I think just proves what an amazing rider she is and how shrewd she is at picking good ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Glenn, go ahead. Glenn, who is your pick for this weekend for Badminton?
That's a tough one. You know, Michael Young is the one who throws a hitch in all of this. And I don't know if you heard, but, you know, the Silver Fox even mentioned that he was a little concerned about Michael. And I think that the thing that throws it off a little bit, I would say, Michael, except he hasn't ridden here. This is the first time here. And apparently, and you could probably speak to this better than I could, Victoria, but apparently when you ride at badminton for the first time, people notoriously don't do well their first time at badminton.
Yeah, there's been very few first-timers that have won. I think Mark Todd was the last person to do so, and that was 30-odd years ago. So that is against him, but this man is just something else. You know, there's a really good piece in Horse and Hound this week looking at it was the Clash of the Titans, and at that time it was Michael Young versus William Fox Pitt because nobody believed that Andrew Nicholson would easily win Kentucky and make it a head-to-head. And just in that article, it talks about how cool he is and how he never gets affected by nerves. And just he is an amazing rider. So I'm looking forward to watching him in action.
I know when William Fox Pitt
Who's
was questioned.
Pick,
I know when
Who's
William
pick,
Fox
Glenn?
Pitt was questioned on after he won or after the other day. And they asked him, you know, who could win this thing? And he said, Michael, you know, he is really afraid of Michael. I got to say that Michael Young's going to be a spoiler. I hate to do it.
Yeah,
you surprise me.
All right, well, I'm putting my feather in the cap for the man who has been to Rolex more than anybody else. He comes over to America every single year with 1 to 2 to 3 horses, and that's William Fox Pitt. The guy lost his wife to Andrew Nicholson in some dramatic fashion. There were guns a-blazing. He stole the girl. William Fox Pitt was left a crumpled man, and he fought his way back. I'm making all of that up, but it sounds really good to me, and that's why I'm pulling for William Fox Pitt. He needs the money. He needs the money, clearly. Oh, I love it. Do it. That's our pick. Now, before we let you go, I know you did have some other stuff to talk about real quick.
Yes, I think you all have to head to our website this week because we have a story about racing shires, as in heavy horses galloping along all-weather track in Surrey. So, and we have a picture, and it's been a huge
pickup. Oh, I'm looking at the picture, racing draft horses. Oh,
this is really cool. 8 shire horses are going to be racing on June 15th around a track, and there are jockeys in silks with really long stirrups that are trotting around. Horseandcountry.tv. We should post the link to this or post the picture at least on our Facebook page, Jennifer, if you can, just to get this. This is fantastic. And we got plenty of time to talk about this coming up. So we've got a month and a half, and I'm sure we'll be making our Glenn will pick a horse because of the name, and then we'll see.
How can you pick one? They all look alike. I mean, that is really a race where they all look alike. Shires are like cut out of mold.
They are
indeed.
Hilarious. Well, thank you so much, Victoria, and we will definitely count on you next week, giving us a badminton rundown. And when William Fox Pitt wins, I'm just going to say I told you so.
Indeed. Well, we shall see. Whatever happens, I think we're set for a pretty amazing badminton. So all I need to do is pack enough clothes for freezing cold weather or in boiling hot sunshine. And then
and yeah, rain.
Time to go. Yeah, of course, rain. Bring my Wellington boots. And yeah, can't wait, though. Should be fun.
Happy shopping.
Yes. Oh. There is very good shopping at badminton, and I'm on a shopping mission because I have, in a moment of madness, entered my first event. So I've
Yay!
Got to buy a whole lot of new kit. I have kit for dressage, and I have kit for show jumping. I don't have kit for cross country, so I've got
girl,
to go shopping at badminton.
The most fun one to shop for. So go have a good time, pick some good colors, and whatever you get, I want a picture next week, okay?
I will try. Sounds like a plan.
Right,
okay, cool. Horseandcountry.tv, if you want to check it out, go look at the Racing Shires. We'll post it on our Facebook page on Horses in the Morning.
Yeah, wow, cool. Very good. It's always fun to talk to Victoria, and I can't wait to hear the report from there. She gets to go shopping for an entire outfit. That's every girl's dream at badminton.
Yeah. that's like, oh, I've got to go spend $1,000 at Rolex at the trade fair. Gosh, that's awful.
All right, let's head off to our song for the day. We got Templeton Thompson and Cowgirl Creed, and then we're coming back with Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com, and we're talking about, of all things today, botulism. There's a happy topic.
She said, I can do that. It wouldn't take nothing but a whole lot of heart, iron will, and gumption. I'll just use what the good Lord gave me. So don't call me honey, and don't call me baby. Don't call me baby. I ride high in the south, always saddle my own horse, till I'm every inch a lady, from the outside to the core. I take the trail of travel, 'cause I know where it leads. I live my life by the cowgirl creed.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson with Cowgirl Creed. And, of course, you can find all of Templeton's music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is here as well. And we are today going to be giving you an idea of what you can win on Friday. Yes, Friday is Kentucky Derby Day, and we're going to be doing all kinds of coverage of Kentucky Derby, but we also are going to be doing Really Bad Ads. We would not skip Really Bad Ads. We know how much you love Really Bad Ads, so we know how much trouble we'd be in if we missed it. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for a chance to win one of three terrific prizes this week. We have Leather Therapy, Leather Laundry Solution, and Rinse. It's a gift set in the 20-ounce size. This product cleans and conditions natural and synthetic leather, fabric, and sheepskin items in your washing machine. Use the solution and rinse to restore to the soft feel of suede or smooth leather, fabrics, and fleece. It's really cool stuff. Everything from Leather Therapy is terrific. It really does work. And whoever thought you could put your leather in the washing machine? Well, now you can. A $50 HorseManiac.com gift certificate. HorseManiac.com is the online shop you've been looking for. HorseManiac.com offers unique horse-themed designer apparel and a wide variety of equestrian merchandise. Visit their website at HorseManiac.com right now and take advantage of the Horse Radio Network special offer. Use the coupon code HRN10 at checkout to receive a 10% discount at HorseManiac.com. And a third prize, Uncle Jimmy's gift pack. That's right. You're going to get a pack of – he's going to throw something in there. You never know with Uncle Jimmy. It's what mood he's in that day. So if you catch him in a good mood, you could get his hangy balls. You could get his squeezy buns. You could get his licky things. It just is up to Uncle Jimmy. You're going to get a gift pack worth $50. I know. I'll try and do better each time. You can get the no sugar added Uncle Jimmy's hanging ball, too. You know, it all depends on what kind of mood he's in that today. In that day, you can find all of his products at uncle-jimmy's.com. I'm really glad Uncle Jimmy doesn't listen to these commercials because he would be.
I think he would love it if he did You just said that Uncle Jimmy might give you his balls, his buns, whatever.
Don't forget his licky thing.
It's true, and that's what he designed it for. So,
and his pecker wrecker. You know, like your chickens love the pecker wrecker.
Yes, they did. I'm getting uncomfortable now.
All of those prizes, get your entries into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Now, before we go to Michelle from thehorse.com for the weekly horse health report, I have to say, and you told us this off the air on Monday, but I'm not going to let it go because I finally got my way. It's only taken me 8 months. You finally have stopped riding.
Oh, I did. It's very...
That wasn't because of pressure from your husband or from me. Did we have anything to do with it, or was it more just because you can't get your leg over the saddle anymore?
It has nothing to do with you. You wish. Dream on. You have zero influence on me, okay? Let me just tell you that right now.
Darn.
And my husband, too, he likes to think he does. But no, actually, I rode Edward about a week and a half ago. And, you know, I got on him and I was doing some arena work. And he's my little off-the-track guy. And he's being really, really well-behaved. And I'm not worried. Like, Jet spooks worse than this horse does. So I was actually popping him over some gymnastics and just little cross rails and walk, trot, canter. And when I got off of him, I don't think I've ever been in that much pain in my entire life. And it didn't stop. Like, for about the next week, it just hurt. So, I just think at some point my body just said, okay, you're done. Like, that's it. That's enough. And I think I would still be capable of doing little trail rides on Jet. However, he has such a nasty spook sometimes. So, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. Now, I am still lunging them all in side reins and doing some free jumping and all that, keeping them going. But, yeah, it's sadly, I had to get off. I had to let it go.
Now, is it killing you at this point mentally, or are you at the point where you're just beyond even caring at this point? You just want to get this over with?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, it kills me to see my horses just standing there eating. It's like...
I'm an eventer. These guys need to be fit. They need to be in shape. I was like, you know, I have plans like next October. I want to take Edward to his first beginner novice. And then November, I want to have Jeff back at Galway doing that training level. No, it killed me. It is absolutely killing me. That is why I still lunge and side raise. I can barely walk. My feet are swollen. My ankles are swollen. But somehow I can get the horse tacked up and get him to the arena to do some lunging. I can't stand up in the kitchen, but I can stand up in the middle of my arena. So, no, it's hard, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Okay, so now I have a question, too. How is Chad holding up through this whole thing?
As far as all of it, he understands that I'm ready to get this over with, you know, and, yeah. And he understands how difficult it is. You know, neither one of us has ever been through this before, being the wife, the pregnant one, or the husband of a pregnant one. And so, you know, I think he sees how difficult it is for me because I'm kind of a busybody. Like, I go out and I still clean the stalls, and I still feel like I need to do stuff. And he's like trying to do everything on top of it and trying to keep me from doing stuff too. And I think it's really, I think it's hard on him. But
yeah, I would think it would be too, because, you know, it's hard enough being a horse husband with a horse addicted wife that has a barn full of horses to begin with. There's all of that mental stuff and all of physical stuff too, that you're helping out with. But then the thought, you know, then the thought of a baby coming certainly does put a kink in that as well. So, I can see it.
You know, like yesterday, he goes to a full day of work, comes home. I've bought 15 bales of hay. They're sitting in the back of the truck needing to be unloaded. He cleans all the stalls. I help him with the stalls, but I'm worthless. Then he unloads all the hay, and then he's helping me turn out. He's just such a superhero. I can't imagine doing this without him. I just have the perfect guy to do this with, and I couldn't thank him enough. He's not even here listening. I'll make him listen to this.
Well, it's not going to be long now, that's for sure. All right, let's...
Oh, it'll get way easier once the baby comes. It'll be a breeze, sure.
All right, is that time of week?
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
That's right. We have digital editor of thehorse.com, Michelle Anderson, with us like we do every week. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Glenn.
You know, I was thinking about this morning before we get to Dr. Johnson, is we have been doing this segment with you guys, about a year, but I think, you know, with thehorse.com for almost 2 years now. And it just goes to show you how much crap can go wrong with your horse. Because we have not duplicated, I don't think, but one or two topics we have duplicated in 2 years, 100 episodes of doing this. It's like,
yeah.
Who even owns it? Why even own these things? All they're going to do is get sick and die.
I know.
Today we're talking about botulism. Botulism. It's like, oh my God, botulism?
I know, and it's a silent killer that, oh man, this one's scary.
Great. That's what we need.
Oh, so, yeah, you know, there's never any shortage of stuff to cover every week. That's why we have 40,000 articles and videos and fact sheets on thehorse.com. There's a lot of stuff that, you're right, can go wrong with our horses. Fortunately,
yeah.
usually they're healthy, right? Knock on the wood. I'm going to knock on some wood.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, take it away.
Yeah, so Dr. Johnson is here. She's with the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Johnson, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this morning. So you just did an Ask the Vet Live with us last week on botulism, and it did occur to me that it's something that we hadn't done on this show, and we had some great information, so I thought it would be wise for us to have you come over to Horses in the Morning and talk a little bit about botulism. But first, can you tell us a little bit about your interest in botulism, why you're one of the experts in this area?
Sure. So I'm interested in it for a few reasons. One of the first is that I have specialized in neurology, and it's one of the neurologic problems that we see quite often in this area. I work at the University of Pennsylvania, like you said, in the Mid-Atlantic region, and this is an endemic region for botulism. So we see quite a few cases come through our hospital every year, and because it can cause such severe problems for the horses, they're often in the hospital for long periods of time, and we work really hard on these cases. I also do some research into botulism, specifically into ways that we can better diagnose this disease in horses, and so we can implement treatment more quickly.
Okay. Yeah, and I have to be honest, this isn't a disease that I had a lot of knowledge about before we went into the Ask the Vet Live, because in my area, I don't know that it's endemic, and I probably should know, but where are the areas that people should be worried about this? Let's start with that.
Well, botulism is a disease caused by a bacteria that is everywhere in the world. So it's in the soil. It's not a disease that needs to be carried by animals. It's just in the environment, this bacteria. But there are certainly certain areas of the country where there seems to be more of it, and it seems to cause a problem more regularly than in others. So in particular, the Mid-Atlantic region and Kentucky seems to have a high incidence of clinical botulism in horses. But certainly, we've had outbreaks from pretty much every state that have been reported, West Coast, East Coast, Southwest, middle of the country, and even in people, one of the states where they see the most botulism is Alaska. So it can be anywhere.
And you say it lives in the dirt?
Yes. For the most part, it lives in the dirt. There's one type that does live in dead animals, which is, and in people, you know, they get it from vegetable and canned products oftentimes, but the way that animals get it is generally from the dirt.
All right, pave everything. Just pave everything.
Well, and so, you know, the canned goods, that's what I think of when I think of botulism in humans, and making sure, you know, you boil those green beans that were canned at home really, really well before you eat them. But you mentioned something else in humans that we see a lot of, and that is botulism in honey for infants. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. Well, you know, we see botulism in young horses, and it's also a big problem in young people, so infants, basically. And a lot of mothers will be familiar with the recommendation that you shouldn't give honey to infants until they're at least a year of age. And that's because honey, virtually all honey that's produced, will contain this bacteria in the spore form, and adults can eat these botulism spores without any problems at all. They don't get sick. It's not food poisoning. They'd never know they were eating it. But because babies have a very immature gut or gastrointestinal system, when they eat these spores, the spores sometimes will kind of take over and grow within the baby's gut, and that can make them very sick with botulism. So it is, and the same sort of scenario can happen with our foals, because unlike the adult horses, they have very immature guts.
Okay.
Jamie, are you listening to this? Are you listening, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay, just check.
No honey. No honey.
No honey.
And then, and your baby horses, watch them too.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So there, you mentioned how the foals can contract the botulism. How are the other ways that horses can contract? Because if I remember correctly, there were three different ways.
Right. So the most common way for the adult horses to contract botulism is caused by the toxin that this bacteria produces. So it's not just the bacteria that they have to come into contact with, it's actually the toxin. And for the bacteria to be producing this toxin, they have to be growing, or what we call the vegetative form, rather than the spore form, which is kind of the inert form where they're not growing and they're just sitting in the environment. And so the times when this bacteria produces its toxin are when it's in an environment that's very conducive to its growth. And that type of environment is what we call anaerobic, or very low oxygen environment, as well as it has to be the right temperature and the right pH. And so the type of environments it likes are kind of wet oxygen-free environments like you would see in the middle of a big bale of hay that's gotten wet and been left out in the field. And so horses most commonly get this disease when they're eating from, say, a really large, either round bale or square bale of hay that has spoiled in the center. And so this toxin from the bacteria is just sitting there, and they, as they're eating the spoiled hay, they're eating the toxin. That's the most common way for adults to get it. It can also happen, like I said, there's one type of botulism that's common in dead animals or carrion. So if you have a rabbit or a squirrel or something that, you know, accidentally got baled up in the hay and has rotted within the hay and this toxin has been produced, they can get it that way too. The foals can get it from eating the spores themselves. So you don't even, the foals don't need to eat the toxin to start. If they, as they're grazing or nosing around, nuzzling the mare's udder, the dirt, the ground, the grass, what have you, if they pick up some of these spores, the spores themselves can colonize in the foal's GI tract and start producing toxin. And then the third way they can get it is actually wound botulism, meaning if the horse has a deep puncture wound and this bacteria, the spores, are contaminate the wound and it kind of closes over, so again there's this low oxygen environment, it can start producing its toxin within the horse and they can get it that way.
Okay. And I have to say, after we did the Ask the Vet Live last week, I opened up a bale of hay, and I have a great hay supplier, but there was one bale that must have been damp when it was baled and put up, and I opened it up and it was really compact and you could just tell it had been wet. And I was like, oh, man, I can't feed them. So, and I wouldn't have anyway, but it did make me just hyper-vigilant going through my hay, you know, when I'm looking at it to make sure that it's good quality. So I want to talk a little bit about the clinical signs of botulism in horses and foals. You know, what does it look like when an adult horse gets it? What does it look like in a foal, and is it any different?
Sure. So what this toxin does is it stops nerve transmission to the muscles, meaning that the nerves are no longer telling muscles to contract, so the horse becomes generally weak. And this weakness is most obvious first in the swallowing muscles, actually. They start having a very difficult time swallowing, and then after the swallowing muscles are affected, it can also affect the rest of their body, so that their limbs become weak and they have a hard time even just standing up and walking around. So they might lie down more frequently and have a lot of muscle tremors. And this is the part that makes botulism a little bit tricky sometimes, is that if you have a horse who's not eating very well and lying down a lot, the first thing everybody thinks is colic. My horse is colicking. And they often get sent into the hospital for colic. And it isn't until, you know, we've spent a long time looking at them that we realize that it's not that the horse doesn't want to eat. The horse can't physically eat because of the muscle weakness. The other thing that it's easy to mix these cases up with actually is choke or esophageal obstruction, because, again, when they're unable to swallow properly, sometimes the food will come out of their nose and their mouth when they're trying to eat, and they might start coughing just like you would see with a choke case. So the signs are this difficulty eating as well as this muscle weakness that makes them shake and lie down a lot, but you need to make sure, you know, to kind of separate these out from the colics and the chokes. And with foals, it's pretty similar. They're called shaker foals because when they're standing, all of their legs start shaking more and more violently the longer they stand up, and then they have to lie down. And they also, you know, when they try to nurse, they may have milk running out of their nose or out of their mouth because they just can't swallow the milk effectively.
And
sounds
so you
like
mentioned
something out of a horror movie.
Well, and you also mentioned, you know, the confusion with possibly with colic or choke. But what about other neurologic diseases? Can it be confused with like EPM or West Nile virus?
Absolutely. I mean, both EPM can affect the muscles that cause swallowing as well. So, and obviously EPM can make horses weak. It can make horses that are unable to stand up. Same with West Nile and even herpes virus. Usually if you get to watch the entire progression of the disease from the first signs of the difficulty swallowing and then seeing the horse get weaker and weaker, it kind of more points you to botulism, but if you are an owner or a vet who suddenly sees this horse that can't get up and is struggling to stand and they're just lying on the ground and you don't know why and you haven't seen that progression, you have a whole number of different neurologic diseases in your mind that could be causing that horse to have trouble standing, and you've really got some work to do to figure out which one is causing the problem.
So how is it diagnosed then?
So in terms of the clinical exam, botulism almost always causes this difficulty swallowing and eating, which a lot of the other neurologic diseases like EPM and West Nile herpes do not do routinely. Although they can, it would be unusual for those diseases to do so. So the clinical tests we do are we assess the strength of the tongue really carefully. We actually call it the tongue stress test, where, you know, you pull the tongue out the side of the horse's mouth very carefully and you hold the horse's jaws closed and see if they're able to pull their tongue back into their mouth. And if the tongue just hangs there and they can't pull it back in normally, that's a really hallmark sign of botulism. The other thing that we do is called a grain test, where we put 8 ounces or, you know, a cup of sweet feed into a pan on the ground and let the horse try to eat it. And a horse with botulism will almost always be unable to consume just that very small amount of grain in less than 2 minutes, whereas, you know, a normal horse will hoover it right up and they'll be done eating it within a minute or so.
So for Ask the Vet Live last week, we got lots of questions about how do I prevent this from happening or how can my horse contract it. So what are some ways that you recommend an owner prevent botulism?
Well, there are a couple of different things that owners should do. The first is there is a vaccine that's available. The only caveat I'll say is that the vaccine works really, really well at preventing botulism due to Clostridium botulinum type B, B as in boy. And that is far and away the most common type of botulism in the United States. It probably accounts for about 85% of the cases across the country. However, horses can also get type A and type C botulism, and although they don't cause as many cases, they do occur, and there's no cross-protection with the vaccine. So if the horse is vaccinated with this vaccine for type B and then runs into the type C botulinum toxin, they'll still get botulism. So the vaccine will prevent a lot of cases, but then good management is really the other aspect that owners need to focus on. So like you were saying, if you have some hay and it's obviously spoiled, don't feed it to the horses, because in addition to the mold that can, you know, affect, you know, their respiration and give them inflammatory airway diseases, it may be carrying this botulinum toxin as well. So you want to get rid of any hay that's gotten wet and it's been spoiled. If you're feeding those big round bales, they are a known, or big square bales, any very, you know, large 1,000-pound bale of hay, they're definitely risk factors, so you need to pay attention as the horses are eating from that bale and make sure that you're not seeing any kind of rotten spots that are coming to the surface that you should get rid of. Another thing, obviously, to watch for, and what owner wouldn't, if you see something dead, you know, a dead animal, a cat, a rabbit, a, you know, anything in the hay, you shouldn't feed that part of the hay, that bale or that section, because that dead animal may contain the botulinum toxin as well.
Do you have any advice on preventing the botulism being contracted through a wound?
So in terms of being contracted through a wound, the best thing, honestly, is good veterinary care from the very beginning. Anytime there's a deep sort of wound or a puncture, anything that closes over, you want to make sure that the horse is treated by a vet to either open up that wound so it can drain properly and it doesn't form any kind of internal abscess or, you know, that oxygen-free environment. And the horse may need to go on antibiotics. Even, you know, drugs that are very common like penicillin are effective at limiting the growth of this organism, the Clostridium botulinum. So if the horse has started on antibiotics, hopefully that would prevent this bacteria from growing.
Okay. And so once you have one of these horses in your hospital and you've diagnosed it definitely with botulism, how likely is the animal to survive, and what can you do for care to give the horse its best chance at survival?
So the survival rate is really dependent on a couple of things. Number one, how much of the toxin the horse was exposed to, and number two, how quickly they receive veterinary care. And so the first treatment that we give to try to combat this disease in the hospital is an antitoxin, and this is basically a plasma that's been collected from a horse that is hyper-vaccinated or hyper-immunized against botulism, so it has lots of antibodies against this toxin, and this antitoxin will bind any toxin that's circulating in the sick horse's body. Unfortunately, the antitoxin can't reverse the clinical signs that are already there. So if you give this antitoxin to a horse that's still able to get up and is just having a little bit of trouble eating, it should keep the disease from progressing to the point where the horse is having trouble standing. However, if you don't get the antitoxin into the horse until it's already so weak that it can't stand up, you're not going to reverse those clinical signs. So even though you give the antitoxin, you're still left with this horse that can't stand up. If you get to the horse and treat it before it becomes recumbent all of the time so that it can't stand up, the prognosis is actually pretty good. I would say at least 80% of those horses, if not more, do well with appropriate supportive care, and they may need to be tube fed or given IV fluids for 10 to 14 days until they're able to eat and drink on their own again. But if you wait until the horse is unable to get up on their own, you're going to end up with a horse that has a much lower chance of survival. Maybe only 15% of those horses will make it through this disease, and the ones that do, they have really long hospital stays, sometimes a month or more, really big hospital bills. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars and an inordinate amount of supportive care from a lot of nursing staff.
Yeah, so definitely a commitment on the owner's part to make it to the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading through our new fact sheet that we're putting together on botulism, and it said in there that the same amount, or it takes less botulism to kill a horse than it does a mouse. Is it that tiny, tiny amount, and horses are really highly affected by it?
It's sort of true, I guess I'll say. On a weight-to-weight basis, horses are more susceptible to botulism than pretty much any other species. But because they weigh so very much more than mice do, it would actually take a little bit more toxin to kill a horse than it would to kill a mouse. But on a per-kilogram basis, horses absolutely are way more sensitive than mice are to this toxin. And in fact, we see botulism in horses more than in any other veterinary species, because really any type of animal, even birds can get this disease, but it's not a disease that we see commonly in cattle, sheep, goats, cats, dogs, those types of species.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Glenn, are you scared?
Geez, I just want to curl up in a ball. I'll tell you what, it is. It's just like I said. It's just the horses can get so much different stuff, and every time you come in with something else, it's scarier than the one before. We should rename this from the Weekly Horse Health Report to the Weekly Paranoid Health Report.
Yeah, I know. And that's all the editors at the horse. We all feel that way because we know every way that something can go wrong. But usually with good care, things go right. So talk to your vet.
Now, Dr. Johnson, are you in the state college?
No, actually, I'm at the University of Pennsylvania. That's where the veterinary school in Pennsylvania is.
And you're in where? Philly?
Actually, we're in Kennett Square. So the small animal part of the veterinary hospital is in Philadelphia, but we're about 45 minutes west of that. In picture,
yeah, you're in horse,
Chester
you're
County.
Actually in horse country. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
big
well, that's
horse
terrific.
Country.
And, that school is one of the best vet schools in the country. I'll give you a plug. One of the best vet schools in the country, actually. So I got your plug in there.
All right, thanks.
where can we find more information about Dr. Johnson? Or do you guys have a website? Or
we do, actually. We are part of the botulism lab at New Bolton Center with the University of Pennsylvania. And so if you do a quick Google search for botulism lab and University of Pennsylvania, we have some information on that site. And especially for veterinarians or owners that are involved in outbreak situations and want to get samples tested to see if this is the disease that's causing the problem.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for joining us today. And, of course, you can find Michelle at thehorse.com. Michelle, any articles you want to point out?
Just that Ask the Vet Live that Dr. Johnson and Dr. Little did with us last week. Lots of good information, about an hour long. We had lots of questions from people asking, you know, like I said, how do we prevent this? And lots of great answers. So check that out.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, Michelle. Thanks. Thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Yep, thanks
thank
for
you.
Having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. A couple of, I know. Just the word botulism is, you know, some diseases don't sound all that scary by their name, but botulism just sounds awful. I mean, it's just an awful name. Yeah.
It's the ism part of it.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Hey, a couple of programming notes. This week on the Dressage Radio Show, which will come out tomorrow, they had the First Lady of Kentucky, Jane Beshear, on. And she's talking about how exciting it is to be First Lady during this particular week in Kentucky between Rolex and also the Kentucky Derby. And she is a dressage rider, takes lessons with Reese Koffler-Stanfield, who is the host of the Dressage Radio Show. So they talk a little bit about her horses and her riding.
Former eventer. She, when I lived in Kentucky, she was at all the horse trials.
That's
that
true.
Was before she was the governor's wife. But, you know, a big advocate for eventing as well. So
yep.
She,
her daughter's
she's a horse, yeah, horse person yep. through and through.
Yes, she is. And her husband is, too. The governor actually is a fox hunter. They both fox hunt. So they get out there quite often fox hunting. He enjoys doing that. So that was a good interview. And then also we're going to be back here on Friday on Horses in the Morning. And as I said, it'll be a show we're going to devote it. We have a couple of guests coming on to talk about the Kentucky Derby. So we'll be devoting it to that. And that, while we're on the health issue, next week on the Stable Scoop Show, I'm going to be doing a show I've been wanting to do since we started the Horse Radio Network 4 years ago. And that is a show on Lyme disease and people, because obviously it's something that regular listeners know that has affected me and still does. And we're going to talk about the side of it. I have some guests on talking about the side of it that the doctors don't tell you about. So we're gonna dig a little bit deeper. So that's Lyme disease and people on Stable Scoop next week. That's
well,
my programming
don't forget.
Notes.
Well, good. Don't forget, tonight is the post position draw. It's going to be live on HRTV, 5 o'clock Eastern. So you can watch that and make your pick. And I'm still torn, Glenn. I don't know who
me
my
too.
Pick is yet. I've got about four or five of them that are right up there. And so
and you know. Who is the reigning picking champion of our little group, don't you? Just
no,
saying.
I don't. I have no idea who that is, and we're just going to move on.
Who picked last year's winner out of the blue? Because I used my name method, and it worked last year. And I'm looking at I'm just going to go. We have, in 1 minute, I'll give you all the names. We've got Verrazano, Revolutionary, Orb, Golden Sense, Java's War, Oxbow, Normandy Invasion, By Jack, Palace Malice, oh, I like that one, Lines of Battle, My Loot, Frack Daddy, Falling Sky, Charming Kitten, Golden Soul, Black Onyx, Giant Finish, and Fear the Kitten. We got two kittens in the race.
Well, I don't think you've made your pick yet, so we will come to you guys on Friday with our picks, and hopefully at least somebody can beat Glenn this year, because I didn't think I could take 2 years in a row. I'm just glad that Pegasus is gone.
Yeah, I did look here, and apparently, officially, he's gone. So, ruined it.
Probably
for me
a
now.
Good thing. Good thing to let it go. Let it go.
Well,
all right, everybody,
of course,
have a great day. You know what? Thank you so much to Robert Grantham, who's actually, since we started this show, has offered to pay the entire castration fee for the little mash horse. I know, he's amazing. And, you know, any money that we do get for that rolls over to the next one. So if you still want to donate to the fund, just go to Mash Horse's Facebook page and get the information.
Very good. And don't forget that you can listen to our show on iTunes. That's how about 70% of the people listen. Just go to iTunes, to the podcast section, and search for Horses in the Morning. You can set up a free subscription and automatically download it to your iPhone or your MP3 player every single day. And we appreciate you doing that. We'll see you back here live on Friday morning.
Spayed, neuter, and geld. Just get it done. Make the world a better place.
Fear the Kitten. I should pick that one because we have a kitten you would fear.
Take that one. See how good he does. Read up on him. Probably going to be last.